And in the meantime, I have Bill Evans on the phone. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Appreciate you being available. And we're going to talk to Bill a little bit. Then we're going to patch in Fletcher Bright. We're going to talk about fine times at Fletcher's house and just a lot of neat stuff to catch up on. So Bela Fleck was fun. Bill Evans is going to be a blast. I've been looking forward to this since we set it up. So you have so much going on. And when we were off the air, I wanted to talk to you about you have a new Homespun DVD thing, and you're working on a new book, updating the book, and you talk about In Good Company if you want. It's the floor is yours, man.
Well, thanks. First of all, boy, that interview with Bela Fleck just put me in such a great mood. Just so inspiring to hear him talk about his life and his attitudes towards music, and congratulations on a great interview.
Well,
what could be, I can't imagine anything more inspirational than just listening to Bela talk about what he's doing. And, you crunched me between two guys who have written for symphony orchestras now, because Fletcher Bright has done this. So I guess I've got to just, like, throw my hat in the ring.
You're going to have to
go find a commission somewhere. but that was so, just made me feel so great.
Good.
Positive experience.
It was fun listening to him.
Thanks for doing that, man.
You're welcome. Let's talk about Bill Evans and the Homespun DVD, and I appreciate the comments. And but you just finished, didn't you just finish one for good old Homespun? Who can forget Homespun?
Yeah, this is the first project I've done with Homespun after doing four with Accutab, and I still have one in the can for Accutab, and then one with the Murphy Method a year ago.
Yeah.
And, of course, all these people are my friends that I've known for many, many years, known Happy Traum for many, many years. And Happy's son, Adam, lives here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live. And we recorded the project in the EMG studio, EMG Pickups, and EMG is a company that makes pickups for electric guitars and basses, a big company, and they have a video studio up in Santa Rosa, California. And I brought my guitar picking buddy, Jim Nunley, and I had not done a repertoire instructional DVD project to date. Everything that I've done has been topics-oriented, like Up the Neck Backup or, jam session survival skills, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where this one, I taught eight tunes that are jam session favorites, everything from Old Joe Clark, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, Fireball Mail, Salt Creek, in intermediate versions that sound good, that I think that an intermediate level player, which, that's a very broad category, encompasses a lot of people, I think that players of a wide varying ability level will enjoy it. And working with Homespun was a joy. They're great, great folks.
Now, is it, it's the DVD, right?
Yeah, it's a DVD. And the way that things work these days is you put the DVD in your computer, and a PDF file opens up that has the tab book, and you print that out on your end. And
okay.
You can also get it as a download.
Well, that's what I was getting. That's what I was getting to. It seems like so many of those things now transferred over to you can have the product in your hand. And you can also download it onto your computer.
Yeah. And with the way my own career works, I find myself involved in instruction in different ways, and I've been doing this for a long time. I'll be doing 12 music camps this year total, including two events of my own. And it was just a joy working with Homespun and getting this out. The other project I'm working on this summer is the second edition of Banjo for Dummies, and so earlier this morning I'm sitting in front of my computer trying to finish up a short segment on Pete Seeger that's going to be in the book, and it was a joy to hear Pete Seeger singing with Tony Trischka in your show.
Yeah. It all fits together after a while. Accidentally, even.
What I kept thinking, man, in listening to your show, is that the variety of music you play matches what my own vision of bluegrass music should be if we lived in a perfect world, according to my standards.
Well, you know what? maybe, Bill, that's why I gravitate to you so much, and I really do. It seems to me that I get what you're talking about and what you're playing, and maybe we have similar tastes. That could be very well be. I kind of like the stuff that I play. Obviously, I wouldn't play it, but I'm with you on that. I'm with you 100%. We've talked about that before. I think that broader, more expansive, and inclusive is a good way to go.
Well, it's a big musical world out there, and what I'm experiencing in my own travels, but also living in California, you know, the word bluegrass has been co-opted by the larger culture into something that was a different definition than what it would have been even 10 years ago, much less 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And we got to ride with it. But there's such a tremendous amount of diversity in terms of what's available out there and the different things that people are doing with acoustic instruments. You know, so whether it's Bela Fleck or Jimmy Martin or Rhonda Vincent, you know, all people that you played on your show.
Missy Raines. Missy Raines was on for an hour with the new hip.
Yeah. One of the most inspirational shows that I have seen in the last couple of years was Ricky Skaggs with Bruce Hornsby. And Bruce Hornsby's from Tidewater, Virginia, which is where I'm from. So
yeah.
It was great to see a local guy, you know, on stage with Ricky Skaggs. But, you know, that was a piano with Kentucky Thunder. And you know, that's certainly the way the music is going out here in California. We have a very, you know, broad definition of you know, bluegrass is almost a catch-all phrase for just a whole wide range of bluegrass of acoustic styles. And of course, we have Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, the big huge festival out here in October, which actually is moving more and more away from acoustic sounds actually as time goes by. But that's just sort of, you know, my own orientation. And so to, you know, hear all this stuff on your show every week is just a joy for me.
Good. Well, I'm glad you appreciate it. And let me just say this, too, and I always come onto the show and I tell people what's going to come up. And I absolutely treasure my friendship with Bill Evans. And it was, I don't know, Bill, was it 12? Was the first banjo camp that was Sonny 12 years ago, 11 years ago?
Yeah, survived the initiation.
I kept coming back. And through Bill Evans, I have been introduced to so much great music. I've been introduced to so many great people. I now openly say I'm no longer in the closet, and I openly say that Sonny Osborne is my friend, and that's all because of you.
Well, and, you know, it's all – I've learned so much from people like Tony Trischka, you know, who has been at our camp.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mean to be
– As Sonny. It's a never-ending process.
Well, that's just it. I don't mean to say no. And I had an email from Tony, I would say, in the middle of the night, but close to that. But, you know, all the people that I've met through your camp with Sonny Osborne and the music that I keep learning and getting exposed through, and it's just been a joy. And I'm so happy that I still have you to call on and get tips from and learn from. Bill Evans, my opinion, is the best banjo instructor. And there's a lot of good ones, but Bill has a way of, I'm talking about you like you're not here, Bill has a way of making it very approachable and very, you know, no matter what your skill level, and make it easy for you to understand and move on to the next step. That's what I've always seen in all the classes and the videos that you have. It's just, that's the way it comes across.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, I do a lot of teaching and I learn from my own students. And so if something works, it's because it's been tested on people. It doesn't always work, but I try to learn from my mistakes and keep on. Maybe we should plug the camp just a little bit
while
we're talking about it.
Yeah, sure.
This will be our 13th year, I think, and the dates are October 25, 26, 27 in Fairview, Tennessee at Camp Marymount. And our partner in this venture is Cindy Sinclair, who has run Nash Camp camps for many, many years. And she does a summer bluegrass camp at the same location and our fall banjo camp. And our teachers for this year are Ned Lubrecki, Alan Mundy, and Bill Emerson. And we're just announcing here in the last few days that Bill Keith is going to be there for the very first time. And that's tremendously exciting. Sonny Osborne is there. Frank Neek, the banjo builder, the incomparable banjo builder from Russell Springs, Kentucky. And I'm around, too. And we've got the best food of any camp in the world. That by itself is a good reason to come.
You have to diet before you go because you're never going to lose it once you get there. And it's a blast.
True.
It's an absolute blast. I love to go back. I feel like I would feel like I was missing out if I didn't go back every year. So I just enjoy it. And Sonny's sort of like the spiritual leader and kind of walks around and everybody knows when Sonny. It's a blast. You can't describe it, but if you're there and you've seen it happen, it's just an amazing experience.
Thank you. And we'll start things off with our annual pre-camp concert at the Station Inn in Nashville with a great backup band. So that'll be Thursday the 24th of October. Hours are a little bit different this year. We're going to start a little bit earlier in the day. I think we're starting in mid-morning now on Friday, and we'll be finished by Sunday at lunch. In case you want to catch a plane, you can catch a Sunday flight back home.
Okay, so. Cool. Let's Bill, we talked about how we're going to skin this cat once you got on, and I know Fletcher is waiting. If you want to I can play the St. Anne's Reel, Angeline the Baker, Soldier's Joy medley, and in the meantime, I'll plug Fletcher in. How's that work?
That's fantastic. I'm so excited that Fletcher will be on the show. He's an amazing musician. He just celebrated his 82nd birthday, and he's from the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. He has led his own band, the Dismembered Tennesseans, since the mid-1940s. Now, just process that for a minute, everybody. It's pretty amazing. And he is a joyous individual. Tony Trischka has said that the most ecstatic moments he's ever had playing music have been with Fletcher Bright. And Missy Raines would agree with that. Everyone who plays with him just comes away with this feeling of joy, and this is what music making is all about. And so I've known Fletcher for many years. We first met at the Augusta Heritage Center Bluegrass Camp in Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia. And we end up teaching at least at one camp a year. This year we'll teach at three together. And we started knocking around the idea of doing a fiddle and banjo project a long time ago, and we let too much time go by. Finally, Fletcher said, man, we got to do this. So last December, I flew to his home in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, above Chattanooga, and we spent 3 days with Bobby Burns at the helms recording just whatever came to mind. And we've got 16 tracks, and the album Fine Times at Fletcher's House has been out now about a week.
And see, now I'm a fan of Fletcher Bright, and as I was saying, Bill Evans keeps opening musical doors to me, to my ears, and to my brain, and now I know about Fletcher Bright, and I'm going to talk to him in just a minute. So another thank you, Bill, for letting me peek into that window also. Let's get the tune started, and I'll patch Fletcher Bright in, and when we come back on, folks, it'll be Bill Evans and Fletcher Bright, and we're just going to talk about fiddles and banjos. So hold on. Oh, that was nice. In the middle of that medley from Fine Times at Fletcher's House, Bill Evans and I patched in Fletcher Bright. How you doing, Fletcher?
I am doing great, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Good. And Bill, you're still there, right?
I am still here, yeah.
Okay. Fletcher was stating during that musical interlude that he was listening, and he said, Bill said pretty much everything that needs to be said, so I just want to say hello, and you don't get off that easy, Fletcher. You have to do some talking.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill is what I would describe as a cutting-edge banjo player.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I may have succeeded in bringing him back to basics on this CD.
Well, get it out there. Let's examine that a little bit.
Well, there's a certain complexity. I am a little speechless here. There's
Bill's not usually speechless.
That's true.
I would answer that, Mr. Bright, by saying that I wanted to do the fiddle and banjo tradition proud, and especially these songs that you chose for the record. And there's different. You have to think about what you're playing with this. Obviously, to find the way for the banjo to support the fiddle, do some interesting things, but not be too much of a point of interest to get people away from the fiddle.
You got to keep the rhythm. It's the first job.
Yeah,
for both of us, of course. And you did that.
Yeah, and Steve, what Fletcher had done, I arrived in mid-December at Lookout Mountain, and Fletcher is a great teacher, and he's got hundreds of tunes transcribed in musical notation with chords. And so he would say, well, have you heard this song, Scott Number 2, for instance? And I would usually say, no. And then he would pull out this music and put it on the music stand, and I could read enough music to know, and of course I could hear what he was doing, and there was some idea of the chords, and then I could take that and then do other things with it. And in some cases we played things only about four or five times before we just recorded them. Is that right, Fletcher? I think.
Yeah. Most of them were not that complicated. Some of them, one of my favorites on the whole CD is probably Put the Kettle On, and that has some interesting chord changes, and we have played two versions of it, which could explode your brain if you weren't paying attention.
Bill, did you know you played two versions?
No. It was two versions. I thought it just was like a big A part and a big B part.
Well, whatever you did, it worked. That was it.
Yeah. No, it is two distinctly different versions. And this is the, you know, usually you can tell the fiddle tunes apart because they have different titles. But in this case, that doesn't work.
They had the same title. Both were North Carolina fiddlers, Steve. Both were old-timers. Marcus Martin did a version of it, and a fellow named Bayard Ray did a version of it. Mm. And I listened to those old CDs, the recordings of them, and mustered out an arrangement on both of them. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, we can play that tune in a minute, but I did, Fletcher, I want to back up on you a little bit, and as Bill was mentioning, the Dismembered Tennesseans since 1940, how did the band get started, and what were you thinking when you came up with the name?
Well, we weren't thinking, really. we were teenagers, and you don't remember this, or you may. Back in the 40s, a fairly well-known band was Lost John and his allied Kentuckians, and they played around the Atlanta area. And so we thought it would be neat to just take up opposites. So we became, the full name was originally Found Sam and his ally, and his Dismembered Tennesseans. So we took opposites. Now, Sam was the original leader of the band. He couldn't play an instrument. He couldn't sing, and he wasn't very funny. So what more qualifications would you need for a band leader? so he led us for a few while we were in school, and then he went his way. And then so we dropped that part and just stuck with the Dismembered Tennesseans. We thought about changing it, but it was too late. We just kept it. And so now in the...
I'd say it's too late. Late to change it now, by the way, if you're thinking about it.
We are certainly clearly in the afternoon of our musical career, so I don't think we're going to change it now. So that's the story on it, and it's really a little silly, but that's the truth. So I'll stick with it.
All right, well, you stick with that. Fletcher, you obviously have people that have inspired you to play. Who were you listening to then when you decided to pick up a fiddle and a bow? And what? Tell me a little bit about influences. I kind of know where Bill's coming from. As I said, I've known him for a while, but I'm just not getting to know you. So what impressed Fletcher Bright?
I started listening to the radio. You know, there wasn't any television in the 40s, and I discovered the Grand Ole Opry, and I discovered Roy Acuff, and then Bill Monroe, and they just turned lights on everywhere. I listened to Bill Monroe when Chubby Wise was playing with him, and then Chubby left, and he got Benny Martin. And I thought Benny Martin did some of his best work playing with Bill Monroe. Of course, he did some great work with Flatt & Scruggs, but that was what I really cut my teeth on, was Benny Martin. Also, I listened to Arthur Smith a lot back, and I had a couple of 78 records of Arthur Smith that I just wore out listening to him. Benny Martin actually didn't do a lot of recording with Bill Monroe, but I listened to him every Saturday night. He'd come on at 6 o'clock with Lou Chivery and Bill Monroe, and then you'd come by, listen to him on the Opry, and then they did a 1 o'clock show after the Ernest Stubb record shop. So I would sit around the radio and listen. Of course, I couldn't record it. I just had to listen very carefully and try to remember what they were doing. But that was kind of the genesis of my interest. And of course, I followed all the fiddlers that followed. But I guess Benny Martin he set the standard for me.
Oh, that's a good standard. So you're self-taught. You just listened and taught yourself?
I took piano lessons. I took violin lessons, as they say, but not enough to hurt. I stopped fairly early and then got the instrument back and tried to learn how to fiddle. But I have had enough. I had a little bit of musical training that didn't really help me. I can read a little bit, and that's been very valuable.
And I think that, Bill, didn't you say that he also plays, he plays piano? I know that I've had a little chat with you about and I keep thinking there's jazz pianos or jazz guitar also in your world, Fletcher?
I sitting here at a piano. I can play a little bit of jazz piano.
Okay.
Live from the Starlight Ballroom.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like
Led Zeppelin.
Filtered through the phone. It sounds like one of those old recordings. That was great.
I was in a guest bedroom that was directly above the office where Fletcher's piano is, and I would wake up about, it was on West Coast time too, but I would be awakened between 8 and 9 in the morning with a jazz standard played on the piano by Fletcher. That was a great way to start the day when we were making the CD.
Oh. He's being kind. I think I just woke him up is what I did.
Well, listen, I want to play a cut or two from this, even though I know they're short. I want to try to get a few in. And we've talked about Scott number 2, the one that apparently you played 2 versions of that Bill doesn't remember.
But no, that's probably Put the Kettle On is the one that...
Oh, well, let's play that one.
2 versions, yeah.
Well, let's do that one.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
All right. Okay. Is that all right, guys, if I put on Polly, Put the Kettle On, Don't Go Anywhere, and I'll come right back?
I would say so, yeah.
All right, then. Hold on. This is Steve Martin. I'm talking to Bill Evans and Fletcher Bright. And we're going to play from the new Fine Times at Fletcher's House, Polly Put the Kettle On, Don't Go Anywhere. All right, there we had some extended cuts from the Fine Times at Fletcher's House. We had a phone connection issue, and I've now found Fletcher Bright back and reconnected with Bill Evans, and everybody's still okay, and technology wins again, and we just defeated it. So we listened, by the way, to Polly Put the Kettle On, 2 o'clock, Scott number 2 and Blackjack Grove. So we made some good headway into the album of Fine Times at Fletcher's House. So it was enjoyable.
Steve, just keep playing it and they will not have to even buy the CD.
Oh, we don't want to say that. We don't want to say that.
Okay.
All right.
Fletcher, while I was listening to all that music, the thought entered my mind, how do fiddlers know when to stop?
I used to play a fiddle tune, and Frank McDonald was the MC. He would say 2 things. He would say, just when you think it's going to never end, it does. And the other comment was, I thought he'd lost the last page of the sheet music. but we ours are mercifully short on this CD, I think. We didn't just play them forever either.
No, there's no long jam sequences on any aspect of the CD at all.
Disco versions anywhere.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful CD. I don't want to keep you guys all day, but I wanted to overcome this technical glitch when Fletcher died out on his phone, and we're back again, and I've enjoyed it immensely. Fletcher, so nice to get to meet you and talk to you, and I understand a little bit about the process now of when Bill coming to your house, and apparently that's how Fletcher records. People come and live in his house, and he plays piano music, and then they record things with him. And it works very well. It works very well.
He also has one of those automatic, and when you live with one of those, it is a dangerous thing, because you just say to yourself, I'd like a cup of coffee, and then 5 seconds later, there it is.
Oh,
so,
man.
I had a lot of coffee. Steve, I will say, we don't get a chance to perform together much, Fletcher and I, but we do have some concerts coming up
in
different parts of the country.
Thank you.
And we're going to have a CD release concert in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with the Dismembered Tennesseans at the Barking Legs Theater. I know that's just a lot of, strange things all together.
Dismembered Tennesseans
at the Barking Legs Theater.
That sounds like a Stephen King novel to me.
That's going to be on Saturday, August 3rd, and then we're teaching at Nash Camp together the following week,
So
we'll be at the Station Inn on Friday, August 9th, to help the students in their student concert. Yeah. And then Fletcher's coming out here to California, and we're doing a concert at the Freight and Salvage Coffee House on Thursday, October 10th, with Lori Lewis, Tom Rosen, and Sharon Gilchrist.
Oh, that'll be a blast. That'll
yeah,
be an
Yeah, so real,
blast.
Real excited about that.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you guys go. Bill, thanks so much. Fletcher, we'll do this again. And maybe I'll meet
you. Thank you for calling.
Hey,
yes,
listen,
sir.
The telephone difficulties aside, I've enjoyed it. Bill, I always enjoy chatting with you and catching up. And I guess I'll see you. At least I will talk to you again in Nashville in October, if not before then.
That's right. And Fletcher, I got to get to work on my symphony here, since I'm hanging out with all you guys that write symphony.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right now. I think I'm going to start with the bassoon part.
All right.
Guys. I haven't written my part yet. Okay. Well,
don't wait for me. Go on without me.
All right. All right. Take care. All right.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.